Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, joining me today, we got Mary Lou Guevara. She's the Executive Director for the Los Angeles League of Women Voters. Mary Lou, welcome to the Union Edge.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, let me say thank you very much for being here, but also the great work that you and the League of Women Voters do all across the United States. You guys are doing God's work, and we appreciate it. You know, nothing like being a stalwart advocate for everybody exercising their right to vote, and that's a wonderful thing. We appreciate that very much. But Mary Lou, you also, as a Latina, are working real hard at making sure that people at the naturalization service or ceremonies understand that you're a citizen now, and guess what? You get to register to vote.
Correct. You know, part of kind of the big picture is helping our turnout rates increase, not only here in Los Angeles, but throughout the United States. And one way to do that is to make sure that those that are newly naturalized, they're doing it because they want to vote, but also understand the importance of it and the democratic process. So as a result, we partnered with leagues across the country. This is something that's been ongoing, but I think a concerted effort began in 2016 leading up to the November election, where we saw an increase in those communities wanting to become engaged and wanting to become naturalized. So what better opportunity than for the league to not only register to vote, register them to vote, but also to promote not only our mission, but a lot of nonpartisan information.
There you go. Now, one of the things that's very interesting is we have a lot of people here in the United States that have come here to the United States from all over the world that are eligible to naturalize. They've become lawfully admitted permanent residents. They've spent their time here in the United States, but they just have not gone through the process of naturalization and becoming a citizen. In the Los Angeles area, for you, what is your take on, what's the approximate percentage of people that are eligible but haven't done it yet?
Sure. I mean, we service about 3.8 million people here in Los Angeles. Through our partners that work directly in providing services to the immigrant community, it's hard to track, but we estimate that it could be anywhere from 20 to 30% of the residents of Los Angeles are either eligible or in the process of becoming eligible. Of course, there's a larger sector that isn't eligible. So we work with local partners here in Los Angeles through a lot of workshops and mega citizenship events where we provide them information that will allow them to kind of see if they're eligible to go ahead and move forward with their naturalization applications and process. And for our league, it's important to be involved in that process, although we don't provide direct services,
right,
but to let them know that when they do become citizens, they have to register. And we also have a program here in Los Angeles that we call Voting Basics that provides them the basic understanding of, what are political parties, how to get registered, how to get a vote-by-mail ballot, et cetera. Basically, everything that a lot of us take for granted.
In addition to that, before I jump off this, not only are you doing this for new citizens, but newly eligible teenagers. When you're 18,
yes,
you get to vote. And I mean, how often do you have to go into a high school to remind these kids that, hey, you got to register?
I know. The league has definitely, I think it's part of the wider picture of encouraging active participation, specifically promoting it in underrepresented communities. And part of that is youth, high school students. So our leagues across the country registered over 15,000 high school students and college students last year. Here in California, we're somewhat lucky because we can pre-register at the age of 16, but of course they can't vote till 18. So that's opened up so many new opportunities. We registered, right. just our league registered about 10,000 high school students last year.
Wow. Now, let's talk about registration versus voting. You know, and I know that we've got mm-hmm. people out there that are saying, oh my God, look at all this voter fraud. We have all these people that are registered to vote. Yeah. they may be registered to vote. I don't know. Does California have motor voter?
No, not in practice. There is some coordination with the Secretary of State's office and the DMV, but there's no direct communication.
Okay, so when I get my driver's license, I can't register to vote at the same time?
You can.
Oh, okay.
However, it's not by default that they automatically register you. They provide the service, but it's not an automatic. We're working towards it. I know our leagues across the California state are working with the Secretary of State to make it so that if you're, you know, if you answer a couple of questions at the DMV office, you'll automatically, if you're eligible, automatically be registered unless you opt out.
Right.
So it's
now,
an opt-out system.
But even in the current situation, if somebody checks the wrong box and says, yeah, register me to vote, that is not voter fraud.
Correct. Correct. There's a system in place that's able to identify one that even though you might have checked that box, you're not eligible.
Right. So
yes,
you know my point is these people that are out there saying, look at all these people that are illegally registered to vote. Well, first of all, I don't know if it's illegal or not. I don't know if there's a statute against specifically, but registration. You haven't voted, and
correct.
Voting fraud, voter fraud, entails you actually going to the polling place and making a selection, not being registered to vote. And, you know, that's one of the things that some of the opposition, some of the people that, you know, run around with their hair on fire are trying to bring up. You know, so that's one thing. And one of the other things that I know from personal experience, one of the things that is you just absolutely positively don't do if you want to stay in the United States or you want to become a citizen is you don't vote as a lawfully admitted permanent resident. You don't vote as a guest here in the United States for business or pleasure. You just don't do that because there's no coming back from having done that.
Correct. And then our naturalization process here in the United States actually asks that of those that are going through the process. We ask that they haven't misrepresented themselves and their legal status and attempted to vote. So we have safeguards in our system. But I also wanted to point out one of your previous points. I did want to reiterate, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know that, voter fraud is a huge, the problem of voter fraud in essence is a myth that is used, I guess, to scare people and to help promote these laws that actually keep people from voting. And, you know, all the opposite. I think I myself and the League of Women Voters actually believe that we should work towards making not only the process of registration more tangible for people, easier,
mm-hmm.
But also to promote early voting opportunities. So moving away from the focus of this, you know, myth of voter fraud, but actually making it more easier for you and I, a lot of working Americans, a lot of people who have children, a lot of people who go to school and work, to make it easier for them to actually participate in the process.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, I firmly believe that you should be able to register to vote from an ATM machine. You know, you should be able to walk into any post office.
That could be our future.
Yeah, you know, and quite frankly, I love the idea that the Australians have. Hey, if you don't vote, we send you a ticket in the mail. You can come vote for this person, you can come vote for that person, or you can come vote and say, hey, I showed up. But if you don't show up, you get a ticket in the mail. You know, so I like that idea, too. It's probably not practical here in the United States, but there's a lot of other things that we could be doing. Mail-in ballots. Who is it, Oregon, that does mail-in ballots?
Correct. There's, yeah. I mean, even here in Los Angeles, at our during our last local election, about 60% of voters took advantage of the voting by mail.
Well, there you go. Hey, listen, Mary Lou, we need to take a short break. We'll come back and we will talk about some more, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mary Lou Guevara, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's me, your heart. High blood pressure is serious, and if you think I'm just going to keep ticking away, you're wrong. I can quit whenever I want, but I like my job. Just treat me better. Maybe we can do some exercise on occasion? After all, we're in this together.
Don't let your heart quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
It was 1973. Helen Reddy's song, I Am Woman, was at the top of the charts. The feminist movement was in full swing. A group of Boston women office workers started talking about how they were treated at work, how men made more money for the same jobs, how they couldn't take time off to care for their kids without putting their jobs at risk. They were feisty, empowered, and fed up. They founded 9to5, a membership organization of women working in low-wage jobs, inspiring a national hit song and movie. Whether it's fighting for better leave policies, for equal pay for equal work, to ban the box, or strengthen the safety net, 9to5 is on the front lines of putting our issues on the public agenda, and they're winning big. Find out more about how they're raising the bar at www.9to5.org. That's the number 9to5.org.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. This program is sponsored in part by the Seafarers Union International and the Maritime Trades, both of Washington, D.C., and we appreciate their support. Right now we're talking with Mary Lou Guevara, who is with the League of Women Voters. She's the executive director in Los Angeles. Mary Lou, welcome back to the Union Edge.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being with us today. What else are you guys working on in Los Angeles right now that that we should be aware of?
Sure. So as you mentioned before, we are doing, in partnership with leagues across the country, we are doing voter registration and voter outreach at naturalization ceremonies. We have two upcoming ceremonies here in Los Angeles on April 18 and May 23rd. We expect about 20,000 people to be naturalized at those ceremonies here in Los Angeles. In addition, we hinted at it before, we're working in a lot of underrepresented communities here in Los Angeles, so that includes youth. We have, of course, an outreach across college campuses and high schools to not only do registration, but also promote the importance of voting and gearing up for next year's elections here in Los Angeles. We're also working on major public policy issues here. Of course, the issue of homelessness is a big problem in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and community policing. So we're very involved in those ongoing conversations and just promoting a lot of civic engagement around those issues.
These organizations.
I know that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And I'm thinking to myself, if your teenagers in Los Angeles are anything like our teenagers here in the Pittsburgh area, man, do you have your hands full. Ha! I mean, not only do you have to go out and get teenagers, newly naturalized people, but I am sure that within the community itself, there are large numbers of disenfranchised people that you got to get back into the system. And,
correct.
And this turns into an all-day event kind of thing. Every day.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it's ongoing work. There are some challenges that we face, you know, but in terms of doing outreach and capturing the attention of people, including youth. But, you know, since the November election, and I'm sure this is not only true to our league, there's been a resurgence in people's interest in wanting to get involved. I mean, mm-hmm. just our local league has seen a great outpouring of outreach from the communities that we didn't traditionally serve. We've gone into new areas of Los Angeles, and we've had to branch out. So there have been advantages in the last couple of months with, you know, people seeking us rather than us seeking their attention. But you're right. I mean, it's an ongoing challenge to be able to civically engage, especially across a lot of communities who might not be eligible to vote. It's important for people and your listeners to know that voting is just one aspect of civic participation. You know, following the news, being able to contact your local representatives, going out to town hall meetings, writing letters, making phone calls, you know, that's ongoing civic participation that you can do even when there isn't an election.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I'm very interested in is, I don't know how big your staff is, but how many people did you register to vote last year?
Sure. Well, at naturalization ceremonies, we registered a couple of hundred. The total number of our voter registration success was about 13,000. And that includes, surprisingly, the majority of those, about 10,000, is youth. So,
and that was last year. Okay,
now, that was last year.
Now I'm trying to think to myself. In LA, where are most of the naturalization services held?
They're located right in downtown LA.
Are they held in like a sports arena or where?
Yes, our convention center.
Okay, your convention center,
which is like a sports arena.
Okay. So my thing is you've got 20,000 people raising their right hand and becoming U.S. citizens, and that's a wonderful thing, but you're only getting a couple of hundred people to sign up?
Sure. I mean, you have to – the reality that we face here in Los Angeles is – and it's a great thing, not necessarily for us so much, but in terms of our stats, but they can actually register inside of the convention center,
mm-hmm.
and they're usually registered by the county registrar's office here
okay.
in Los
all right,
Angeles.
All right. So you guys only may be getting a couple hundred, but more
Correct.
Than – okay, because I was like thinking to myself, oh, my God, 20,000 people and you get
– I know.
Yeah. It's like,
so
all right, everybody right here, right now.
Yeah, so it's actually a great thing that when they walk out, the majority of them are already registered.
Cool. That, you know, and You know, we in this country honor our immigrants for becoming entrepreneurs and so on and so forth and doing things just like your forefathers and my forefathers. You know, we collectively, you know, we did a lot of things good for the country, and subsequent generations of immigrants are doing a lot of good things for the country too. And this is a wonderful thing. But I got to say, you know, look, you're paying the taxes. You ought to vote. Really? You know, that's how we all got started here. But
correct. Your vote is your voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it keeps our democracy healthy. There's no other way around it.
So you know, I'm also a veteran, and you know, veterans, we're kind of a strange breed. We don't care which damn fool you want to vote for, but you have a God-given right to vote, and we're going to protect that. And that's pretty much how most veterans I know think. What can people do to help with the process of the League of Women Voters when it comes to registering people, when it comes to protecting the sanctity of the polling place? Because I got to tell you, I don't really like it when somebody comes to the polling place and they've got some stunt or shenanigans that they want to pull. You know, I don't know about in California, but here in Pennsylvania, we don't have to show an ID, and, you know, don't come walking up to me because you think I might not vote the way you want me to and challenge my vote. You know, this kind of thing. What can people do to help the League of Women Voters?
Sure. So I think the first thing is to find out if there's a league, if there's a local league in your community. You can always volunteer. Local leagues across the country do regular trainings on, you know, on voter registration. So one, you can be part of the process and help people get registered. Two, you can also become a league observer. Leagues across the country on election day go out to the polls and they observe the process to make sure that it's free and fair and transparent.
Right.
So you can become a league observer. There are trainings for that as well. And if you're not available on election day, you can't go out. But if you yourself, when you go out to vote, you notice, you know, sometimes it's lack of information on the process. But if you notice there might, you know, a red flag, go ahead and contact your local league. A lot of leagues have election day hotlines where you can call in and file a report or make a report, and the leagues will go ahead and contact any outside agency that might be necessary. So a lot of it is being informed about the process, but you can definitely become involved by volunteering or at least contacting the league on election day.
There you go, and we appreciate that very much. How do we find out more about you guys?
Sure. So first thing is you can visit LWV.org. That's our National League's website. No matter where you live in the United States, if you visit LWV.org, they'll put you in touch with your local league. Additionally, you can also follow us on all the major social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just type in LWV, and if you have a local league in your area, they'll definitely make sure to connect you. And, of course, if you live in Los Angeles, you can also visit those same websites and get in contact with us.
There you go. Free coffee if we come by the office, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
why not?
We'll get some donuts, too. There you go. Yeah, this is always a wonderful thing. We appreciate that. The website, one more time so people can find it.
LWV.org.
There you go. We appreciate this very much. And any final words for us today?
Sure. I just want to tell your listeners, first, I want to thank you for providing us this platform to be able to speak to your listeners and let them know about the great work that the League is doing. And I definitely want to encourage everybody that if they're looking to get involved with the naturalization ceremonies, to go ahead and contact their local league. If you're here in Los Angeles, we have April 18 and May 23rd. And also to follow us on social media and find out about our upcoming meetings and be part of the process, get informed, and make sure you pay attention to major public policy issues.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for being with us today, Mary Lou. We appreciate it. And if there's anything at all that we can do, please don't hesitate. We'd love to have you back on.
Democracy is a team effort, so thank you.
There you go. We appreciate that. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.